Magic in the Morning, starting out a new week, and believe it or not, it's the final full week of the month of May. And it's also a Monday morning. Every other Monday, we chat with our friends at NVRH. And we've got with us this morning remotely, we have NVRH speech and language pathologist Laura Cannon and audiologist Kim Schaefer. And we're going to talk about your ears and your speech. First off, good morning, gals.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Did you have a good weekend?
Absolutely. Nice and relaxing.
That's what they're for. And here we are Monday. I will ask you this before we start talking about hearing and such. Got your morning beverage?
Oh, yeah.
Mine's already finished.
Is it? Well, I'm into my second one. So, all right, folks, we're here to talk about the importance of your hearing, which we've done in the past. But NVRH has all kinds of great programs down there. And like we said, speech language pathologist, and we also have audiologists with us, and we're going to talk about it. Gals, obviously the number one concern, and I think last year when we chatted, I used the example of, you know, somebody with a job like me where my hearing is very important. And we talked about some of the things we need to consider. Which one of you would like to start off, and where would you like to start?
Well, I'll go ahead and just talk about kind of the three most important things we're concentrating on right now with May being Better Speech and Hearing Month. On the hearing side, is we talk a lot about cognitive decline with adults in untreated hearing loss. They tend to experience 30 to 40% faster decline in cognitive abilities than people who have treated hearing loss or normal hearing. So that's a big amount of decline to go through without knowing either that you have hearing loss or knowing you have hearing loss and not treating it at that point. To go along with that, we have adults with untreated hearing loss are up to 5 times more likely to develop dementia, memory issues, because if you can't hear it, you can't remember it. And then the final thing with audiology and hearing that we're stressing this month is that mild hearing loss can actually create 3 times more of a chance of falling. And, you know, falls are not a great thing. It was fall weather is great, but falling and having injury, that can lead to a lot of different health problems. So those are the three things that we're concentrating on trying to get the word out this month.
Well, you touched on the importance with those of us in the upper age brackets, but it's also very significant, important for the youngsters as well, because learning isn't very easy when you can't hear either.
Correct. Yes, absolutely. And fortunately, in Vermont, our pediatricians do a great job of having annual hearing screenings, and we actually test all the way down to 18 months here in the office, and we also are very fortunate to have ENT here, ears, nose, and throat here as well, if our kiddos have any issues with middle ear infections, anything like that. So we're very capable of treating all ages on both the ENT, the audiology side, and the speech side as well.
So can I ask, well, I just want to hop in here, but I do want to hear your reply, though, okay? When you talk about ear infections and stuff like that, you had mentioned that hearing loss can lead to a higher risk of falling. What about with the young folks? Do hearing losses impact balance and such as well?
It can, but hearing loss more with our kiddos, we worry about their educational impacts. You know, ear infections can lead to the fact that they're not hearing well at school, so they can't retain the information that they're getting. The other part of it is, in younger ones, we can actually find that speech and language can be delayed because they're not able to recreate those sounds that they're hearing because they're not hearing well.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, what were you going to say?
Oh, that's exactly where I was headed with that, is that, yes, oftentimes one of the first signs that kids are having trouble with their hearing is that we notice that they're falling behind in their speech and language development, right? If you can't hear it properly, then you're going to have a hard time, you know, imitating those sounds and incorporating them into your communication as a little one. So we do kind of rely on parents keeping their ears on their kids' speech. And so that's another thing for folks to kind of listen and watch out for.
Okay, well, let me ask you both in your professional opinions here. In your experience, obviously in the audiology and in hearing department, do you find, too, with the younger folks, a bit of a rise in anxiety or frustration because of that inability to hear properly?
I think it turns more into isolationism. You know, if kids are made fun of because they're not hearing correctly, or if they just feel like they're not hearing well or they're not feeling well, drawing back in and you know, having difficulties learning, having difficulties communication-wise, it tends to be more of a, I'm going to draw back into myself in that regard.
Okay. And another thing with, you know, just like trouble with communicating, if someone's having hearing problems that are leading to a delay in speech and their friends and their family, their parents, their teachers are having a hard time understanding their speech, kids tend to exhibit a lot more behaviors if they don't have the tools they need to communicate their feelings and their needs. So this all of this stuff ties together for, you know, the child's mental health. Definitely.
Okay, so I'm going to put the picture that I've just painted in my mind here, and we're going to relate this to the upper age brackets here. Many of our listeners out there may have experienced somebody that is either technically or legally deaf or having a very hard time hearing, that does impact their speech. Is that the proper picture that I'm getting? Because they always seem to talk a little bit differently.
There is, with people who have significant hearing loss or deafness, there's something called echoic speech that you can really hear the difference. Most of the time when there's milder losses, we'll have patients come in noting, well, you know, my family member says I am screaming because I can't hear myself. And again, like Laura was noting earlier with our children, that we see a lot of times it's they get shy and they start talking less and less and quieter. So it's all at different issues with different age brackets.
Yeah, and I'm sure it varies by each individual too, right?
Absolutely.
Folks, with us this morning from NVRH, speech and language pathologist Laura Cannon and audiologist Kim Schaefer. And we're drawing attention to the importance of your hearing, obviously, in your speech. Because this month, that's what our focus is. We're getting close to wrapping things up. I'd like to ask each one of you for your final thoughts on this and some of your best advice to our listeners.
Well, I would just start by saying that hearing and speech are both two very interrelated parts of the communication process. You know, communication is what makes us human. It keeps us connected to each other. And so, you know, a hearing loss, especially an untreated one, can really impact your ability to connect with the people that are important to you in your life. So that's really the reason why we're here today.
Well, and it's also the reason that both of you have respectfully chosen your profession, too. Kim?
Yeah, and especially when we've had all of the challenges lately with COVID and being isolated. Hearing and speech is very important to have, like Laura said, that communication ability to share our lives with others, to keep our mental health healthy, and make sure that we are having a happy, good communication with our family, with our friends, with our loved ones, also our professional people that we see on a daily basis or, you know, regular basis, like our family physicians, where it is really important to have a good communication level around you at all times.
Would you say it's a good thing for not just the youngsters, you know, for parents to have their children's ears tested once every year or two, but also significantly important to either on an annual or every other year have the testing done on an adult?
Absolutely. The American Medical Association actually recommends that from the age of 55 going forward, you do have an annual hearing test to determine if there's any changes in your hearing.
That answered that question. You guys did a great job. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Folks, again, you can find out more information at nvrh.org. With us again, speech-language pathologist Laura Cannon and audiologist Kim Schaefer. Gals, we hope you have the best of the day, and I hope you can get yourself another morning beverage.
Thanks so much. Have a great week.
We will. We'll talk to you again soon. And thanks for all you do, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, there's our chat for this week. And again, want to make sure you head to nvrh.org for more information, not only on your hearing and your speech, but on all of your wellness needs. Headed up to news and sports, the morning cash call, your weather forecast, and birthdays all coming up on Magic. Hope you're having a great Monday morning.